Hello, and welcome to Boss Madle, where I sit down and get real with some pretty amazing, creative women entrepreneurs. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and get ready to be inspired. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 11th episode of Boss Madle. Today, I sit down with Rivka Eisenberg, who is a makeup artist, eyebrow sculptor, mom to five, and volunteer. Rivka wears many hats. And we talk about everything from inner and outer beauty to anti-aging solutions and some of our favorite products. We talk about the advice Rivka would give to a younger generation of girls, which is to really cultivate self-confidence. I love what Rivka said when we were talking about this. She said, admire imperfections. What you went through made you who you are today. And just continuing off that theme, I found this beautiful quote online. The source is unknown. It says, be confident. Too many days are wasted comparing ourselves to others and wishing to be something we aren't. Everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses, and it is only when you accept everything you are and aren't that you will truly succeed. We then go on and talk a little bit about Rivka's spiritual journey and how she has managed to imbue her day-to-day life with a deep connection to God, a love of Judaism. Rivka has an open home that is filled with guests. She's very involved in kiruv work and hosts these huge Shabbos meals. So we really talk about many topics. It's a very enjoyable interview, and let's just dive right in. So Rivka Eisenberg is a mother to five, wife to attorney Michael Eisenberg, makeup artist, eyebrow sculptor, marathon runner, and avid volunteer to numerous organizations. Rivka uses her experience in makeup. Rivka's work has appeared in Vogue. Additionally, she collaborated with House of Mesquite on a fashion show to help organizations such as High Lifeline. She runs a challah bake with Milken Community Day School that has an attendance of over 500 people and teaches for a kiruv organization. Rivka, welcome to the show. Hi, Rivka, welcome to the show.
Hi, Hani, thanks for having me.
Yes, this is a real pleasure. I can't wait to talk about so many wonderful things. Beauty, makeup products. I mean, what woman doesn't love that? So let's start at the beginning. And if you could tell listeners a little bit about yourself.
I grew up in England. I was born in a small village in the country, very theatrical family. My grandfather was an actor, ex-military, was a colonel in the British Army, a cartographer in India. Very interesting, colorful background. He started acting in his mid-60s, and he actually did really well. Lots of television work, Doctor Who, Are You Being Served, all the classic, you know, English sitcoms. And my grandmother was an amazing businesswoman. While he was gone during that time, she ran their home. It was a large home. She ran it like a bed and breakfast. So, and it's funny, today the house is still there. It looks exactly the same as how I remember it from a child. And it's a bed and breakfast today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So one of my dreams is to go back there this summer, hopefully, and stay in it and just, you know, take a trip down memory lane. So my mom was English. My father was American. My parents actually met in America. And I was raised in England. So I came to America when I was 16, started working in makeup and fashion, did a stint at Gucci for a bit in Dallas. That's where we emigrated to. And really my love, my first love was always makeup. I remember as a kid, I was probably 10 years old, and I used to do black eyes on all of my friends with my mother's like purple eyeshadow, and they, you know, they'd go home and their mothers would have a fit. What happened? Oh, just Rivka's been playing in the makeup tray. So I've always loved makeup. That's really my first and foremost love.
Wow.
I also do a lot of volunteering. I love to give back to the community. While I was having my five beautiful babies, I did a lot of work, did lots of brides, hachnas color stuff, currently work for High Lifeline, work with their spa days for their mums, doing makeup and skincare. I even did a cute woman that I visit through Jewish Family Services. She was being interviewed as like the oldest resident for where she lives for some local newspaper. And I did her makeup. She's 98.
Oh my goodness.
And she's amazing. She really is an amazing woman. So I like to give back, and I like to use my talents to do that. That's something I love to do.
Yes, one of the reasons I wanted to interview you was because, you know, aside from the tremendous talent that you have, and you are quite successful, and you have, you know, you're busy with your makeup, you really give a huge chunk of your time towards these organizations and towards people who really need these services, need these pick-me-ups. It's so very important to give back, and you really are a role model for that.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. Something close to my heart.
Yes, and yes.
It's something I really love to do.
So let's talk a little bit about beauty. You know, you are around a lot of beauty products, makeup products. Are there some common mistakes that women make when it comes to makeup?
Absolutely. One of my lines, if you will, is what's essential is make under. Let's not make over, let's make under, because I think most people, whether it be, you know, in the fashion industry, or whether I'm doing, you know, let's say a religious wedding or whatever it is that I'm doing, most people do too much because they walk into makeup departments and they just, they have no idea what they're buying. They don't realize that the people that work there are actually on commission. So of course, would you like a lip liner with that lipstick, madam? And let's give you a fill in the lines crease also, even though you're only 28 years old, you know, cha-ching, that's their commission check for the month. So most people overbuy and they don't know what they're buying. So something I suggest that people do, just go to your local professional, take all of your makeup and just, you know, spend an hour and go through everything. I've gone through seasonal makeup with people, you know, throughout the seasons, your skin changes and your lipstick color is going to change and your cheek color is going to change. And you might want to do a tint on the cheek the older you get instead of a powder. Powders aren't very forgiving with lines. You know, it's constantly evolving and constantly changing. And I think part of being current is being true to who you are as far as fashion and makeup, being happy, living a healthy lifestyle. It's all about what you're putting in your body and what you're thinking in your mind. That's definitely going to reflect on your face. You know, Joan Collins, I love this line that she, not Joan Collins, I'm sorry, Joan Rivers said, you end up with a face that you deserve. And I love that line. It's so true. If you live a life of worry and misery, or, you know, you're overextending yourself, or you don't know how to say no, or whatever it is, you know, whatever it is in your life that you know, that's a problem for you, it's going to show on your face. So, you know, and I know we're probably going to talk about self-care at this point, because as mothers and, you know, people tuning in, we do enough? Are you taking enough time to take care of yourself? Because if you can't take care of yourself, you know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right?
So true.
You take care of yourself and make sure your glass is full so that you can give to others.
Yes. You know, it's interesting, as I've been interviewing lots of women, this common theme has come up where self-care is so personal. And, you know, when they say in a woman's magazine, go take a bubble bath or do your nails, that can be self-care for someone. For someone else, that's just maintenance. Like, I want to look good, but that might not be what's filling their cup. It might be a yoga class. Someone else might hate yoga. So it's so personal, and to really take the time to figure out what it is that you need, what makes you tick, is really important.
Very well said.
Yeah. So let's get into some of the products that you use and that you highly recommend. Are there a couple makeup products that you would recommend for summer? Anything new and exciting on the market, or some good classics?
Yes. I'm really liking Sunday Riley's products as of late, and I'm enjoying the CEO Glow. I love oils, and I recommend them to all of my clients, especially the Audacity oils. Those are absolutely fantastic. They're more of a target oil.
Okay.
If you have a sensitive skin or crepey, you know, eyes, and you want to hydrate, obviously you've got to start drinking 8 cups of water a day. But the oils are fabulous. So the CEO Glow by Sunday Riley, I love. I mix that into my moisturizer, or I'll mix it into my makeup, depending on what needs are. Also, you know, California's dry. We live in the middle of a desert. So yeah. I'm all about hydration. Hydration, doesn't matter what age you are, hydration inside, hydration outside. And that will give you that, you know, dewy, kind of glowy, youthful appearance that all of us are after.
Right. Now, the CE Glow, is that an oil? Because I've used Sunday Riley's Good Genes, which has a lactic acid. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Is CO Glow an oil? based product?
It's an oil. It's an oil. I believe it has some turmeric in it. So it's got actually a little bit of an orange tint to it. And it just gives you a nice, healthy glow.
That sounds great.
I definitely recommend exfoliating once a week on top of that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you've got to get that dead skin off for any product to penetrate the top of the skin to give you that glow. Otherwise, it's just going to sit on top of dead skin.
Right.
But
right.
I do love that for the summer. I'm all about lightening up the makeup for the summer. You know, it's very hot here in LA.
Oh, yes.
You know, for the full foundation coverage, ladies, I'd say let's back down, make under with that a little bit. Maybe transition into the summer to Laura Mercier Tinted Moisturizer. It has SPF 20 in it. Lots and lots of colors for every skin shade. Making yes. sure that you match that color to your skin. That's extremely important because I see a lot of people not doing that well. And that's just simple. Simple.
Yeah.
You just, you know, three shades on the side of the jawbone. And whichever one's disappearing, that's your choice. You shouldn't see it. It should just blend effortlessly into the skin.
Love it. And for listeners to know, Rivka really, really does this. I mean, she looked at me one day and said, "Your concealer is a little yellow and we can do this because we're good friends." But yeah. the truth was I was wearing my summer concealer in the winter and my skin was a lot more pale. And so we found the perfect vanilla NARS.
NARS is fabulous. Yes.
And what a difference it made. So it's really true.
Yeah.
And I think those colors.
Right. And it's important with concealer. You know, you need a different concealer for different parts of the face as opposed to under the eye.
Mm-hmm.
The under the eye needs, it really does need a different color. And it depends on what's going on under your eye. Are you bluish under the eye? Do you have, you know, darker circles? Like what's going on? So I think it's important to like target what the issue is, and then you can figure out the solution. There's one other beauty product I just want to mention because it's so fabulous. So I love Kevin Aucoin. He was really the king of makeup back in his day. He was a trailblazer.
Oh, yes.
And his makeup's beautiful. He had an assistant makeup artist called Troy Surratt. Barney sell his makeup. It's also beautiful makeup, great lip glosses. They don't smear around. They just stay put, great pigment. So Kevin Aucoin's makeup has a lovely highlighter. It's really an all year round for everybody highlighter.
Okay.
I've used it when I've done runway fashion shows. I've used it on my black models. I've used it on my, you know, Swedish models. Anybody can use it. And it's one of those beautiful highlighters. It's not glittery. So you're not going to look like, you know, a light bulb.
It's not MAC strobe light.
No, it's, well, it, you know, actually, like I like strobe cream.
Oh, you
MAC.
Do? Okay.
I do, but it has to be applied with a light hand, as with a lot. Light hand is always the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the Kevin Aucoin Candlelight, it comes a little compact. I like to put it on brow bones because it just makes a pop, looks beautiful, and it's not overpowering. I'll do, you know, all of the other highlight places, which is basically where the sun hits your face. It's just not overpowering. It really, as the night goes on, if you have a special event, it breathes with your skin. The ingredients are good and it looks great when you first put it on and it looks great 3 hours later. So that would be my other second product that I'd really recommend right now.
That's great. And I'll make sure to include all of these in the show notes. So just to recap, you know, you're saying is essentially great makeup starts with great skin. And that
Absolutely.
Starts with self-care, rest,
yes.
proper hydration. I know you're very passionate about healthy eating as well. You mostly follow a paleo diet. Is that correct?
Been cheating a bit lately, honey.
You know?
Yeah. 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 I like good quality food. So my idea of cheating is actually at Trader Joe's. I found this lovely sourdough organic bread. Delicious.
Oh.
Yeah. And I've been doing, you know, the avo on toast with that, with some thinly sliced shallots, some sprouts from farmer's market, cracked nice. Back pepper, Himalayan sea salt. So that's my idea of cheating.
Yeah, that's not Bisley and like
not,
stale.
No, but. Well, that's poison. If you look on the back of a packet of Bisley, actually has a warning. There's a little happy sun face and it says, do not leave this product in the sun because it will explode. It really does say that. Check that out.
Hence, try not to put it in your body.
Yeah, right. I don't want any exploding people in Hancock Park.
But it's so true what you're saying, is because we always look at makeup, especially when I was, you know, a teenager and a young adult and very insecure, I looked at makeup as a way to cover myself. You know, I'm very
absolutely. We wanted to turn ourselves into something, didn't we? Let's face it.
Yes.
You know, it was a playground. I remember the glittery lip glosses of my youth, and anything glittery, I was like a little magpie. That's what I attracted to. Mm-hmm. So we all did that. And I also think another mistake people make is that we get stuck in ruts in life with many things, and makeup being one of them. And we'll be wearing that same blue eyeliner that we wore when we were 14. And sister, it's just not working anymore at 45. You know, it's time for a change. So just to reevaluate and, you know, reassess everything and see what's working, what's not working. One of the things I like to do for self-care, actually, I wake up early in the morning. My youngest is 7. I have 5 kids. Oldest is 19. And, wow, you know, I did not do this when I had babies. Absolutely not. I got the most sleep I could get. When the baby woke up, that's when I woke up. But now my kids are older, they're sleeping. It's hard to get them up in the morning. So I wake up early and I just check in with myself every morning. I make myself my coffee and I just sit quietly for a few minutes. And I just sort of listen to myself. You know, where am I today? Am I feeling energetic? Am I feeling lethargic? What's going on? And then I'll kind of assess my day off of that. And I think, you know, listening to your body and seeing what you need is important.
Yes.
Checking in with yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's so true, especially with women and our hormonal changes and shifts, you know, throughout the month. It is important to listen to our body.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. You have also mentioned in the past that you try to take time every day to daven, to pray, which
yes,
I found really inspiring, because since becoming a mother, it's become more of a chore. And I, you know, sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. But what I've noticed with your relationship, you know, with God and your particular viewpoint of Judaism, is you come from a place of real passion and a love, and it emotionally fills you. I've noticed that just with your charity work, with your, yes, it's really special to
see.
Thank you. And I just want to know if there was a way you could give us some advice and tips on how you cultivate that.
So honey, I started learning Aleph Beis when I was 19.
Wow.
I really was raised with no kind of Jewish education at all. Mm-hmm. My mother started lighting Shabbos candles when I was 16. And that really made me question some things in life. And that was really the beginning of my journey, I'd say, at that age. My mother's family is very, very assimilated. The little town where my grandfather was from in England, which was a Jewish village with a synagogue and a cemetery and a bustling Jewish life, you know, 120 years ago, is now completely empty. There's no one left there anymore. In fact, a non-Jew holds the keys to the cemetery now. And he actually wrote a beautiful book about the Jews of Portsmouth and this area where my family's from. But it's sad to me that there's no one there now. It's literally like it's a museum. That's what it's become. So I honestly feel like the most important thing is to talk to God. He's there. He's got your back. He's listening to you. He's been with me every step of the way in my life. I know that for sure. And I make time for him. So when I wake up early and I do that checking in with myself, the next thing I do is take out my siddur and I daven. And it's half English and it's half Hebrew. And it's, you know, and I go through what I go through. But when it comes to Shemona Esrei and I have those few minutes, I have a list, I have people I daven for. And I just talk to him, whatever problem there is. You know, I ask him for help or not, or I just simply thank him. And I think doing that every day creates that strong relationship that I feel like I do have a lot of emunah. If something goes wrong, you know what? It's not meant to be. If that opportunity has set sail, Rivka wasn't meant to be on that boat. You know, that's the way I look at things. And that's where God wants me to be. That's where I'm going to be. So I really feel like throughout my whole life, my journey, really technically on paper, the 5 beautiful Jewish neshamas I've been blessed to raise in this world shouldn't really be here, because my family's, you know, Jewish lineage was basically wiped out. And my husband, who's American, his family, all Holocaust survivors. His father was a baby. He was born in the Lublin ghetto. And I feel like the two of us coming together is really, it's a miracle. It's a miracle that we're here, that that we make Shabbos every week, and that we have these, you know, thank God, you know, five beautiful Jewish souls in the world. It's very special.
Yeah, it's giving me the chills.
It could have been very different. It's like sliding doors, you know. Yes. Like it really could have been very different.
Wow. Rivka, is there a topic that you wish we explored more in the Jewish Orthodox world? And that could be anything. It could be a topic regarding women or priorities or just something, or even just a common myth that you wish to dispel.
That's a really good one.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe perhaps it's a narrative that, or a conversation that you want to start, something that you want people to see, you know, have a different viewpoint or to make a change.
Right. Yes, I think being friendly and kind is extremely mm-hmm. important. I think that non-Jews and secular Jews in the world see our community and our beautiful community is very closed off and unfriendly.
So true.
That's just the impression that I've been given. I work, like I said, I do a lot of work in the fashion world. I have a client who we prepped for a campaign that she had with Alta Zura, and I don't think she's ever met an Orthodox Jew before she'd even met me. And I love being out there. I love going and prepping her for an event, and I'm in my wig, and she'll ask me, you know, I see her looking at me, she'll ask me questions, and I just answer very openly and very honestly. If somebody gives me a compliment at, you know, the supermarket about my hair, oh my gosh, you have such great hair, I say, it's a wig and I'm an Orthodox Jew, which I think most people, listen, if you're not comfortable sharing and doing that, don't do it by all means. But I do, and it always opens up the most interesting conversations. It just,
can imagine.
I'm an open book and an open dialogue, you know. Let's teach people.
Yes, absolutely. We need to do that so much more. And this is a good start, you know, getting this message out there that just a friendly smile, a hello, 2-minute conversation can really change the dynamic and the way that we are perceived. Yeah.
I have a really quick, can I share a really quick story with you about that? My husband did. My husband's exceptionally friendly on Shabbos, especially when he's walking, says hello to everyone. So he was, he's an attorney. He had an appearance in court with a judge who is of Hispanic descent. And he said, counselor, you have a yarmulke on. He said, you're Jewish. I have a question to ask you. I live in a Jewish neighborhood. My wife is Jewish. And every Saturday morning, I water my lawn and I see, you know, your people walking to synagogue. And I say hello to them or Shabbat Shalom to them. And they ignore me. They mumble and they just ignore me. He said, I've been living here for 25 years and no one has ever been friendly back to me. So my husband said, where do you live? He told him where he lived. He said, we're neighbors. We literally live like two streets over from this man. He said, you're coming to me this Shabbos for Friday night dinner.
Wow.
So the judge and his Jewish wife came to us and we had a wonderful Shabbos meal with them and hopefully changed his opinion about Orthodox Jews and how they're unfriendly.
Oh my. Yeah. What a wonderful thing you did. That's all I can say.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
And I just want to go back a little bit to your beautiful Shabbos meals. You make it a point of really having an open home and having all different kinds of guests. You make the most incredible food. Where do you have the time, the energy? How do you do it all?
Oh, you're so sweet. So I believe in very fresh produce. Mm-hmm. So simple menus. You know, I basically make the same thing every week. I'd say Shabbos, to make a full Friday night, full Shabbos meal takes me about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And I do some sauces from scratch. You know, all my dressings are from scratch. But I think because I'm not looking in a cookbook and following each ingredient, I know what to do, that perhaps makes it go quicker. And I really believe fresh herbs, you know, I have a little herb garden in the back, fresh thyme, fresh oregano, bib lettuce, fresh green beans, you know, roasted chicken, simple ingredients, just garlic, you know, cut the head off of a garlic and put it inside the chicken with a wedge of lemon. It's just simple, but very, very fresh ingredients. So I'd say that's probably the best tip I could give.
That's great.
And it's quick. It's quick. It doesn't have to be drawn out. No, I do a potato kugel every week because we love potato kugel, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. Everything else is very, very simple, very fresh.
Very California, you know, farm to table kind of idea.
Yeah, farm to table, very Mediterranean. I love Otelengi. I love his cookbooks. Jerusalem's one of my favorites. So I use that a lot. I also like Jamie Oliver. Mm-hmm. He's great. His stuff's simple and just delicious.
He also has a really fun energy to him.
Oh, I love, yeah, he's fabulous. And I love your brownies, you know, that you educated
me about. We have the secret.
About.
I'm just going to share
a
it.
Secret. Just share. Please do.
Yeah, so for a while I had to be really gluten-free and was on a very strict diet for health reasons. And King Arthur makes this great gluten-free brownie. That is fantastic. And then Rivka took it up a notch and she served it with this chocolate fudge sauce. I think there was whiskey in there. Bourbon, yes.
Chocolate bourbon sauce. So easy to make. So easy to make.
Let's include the recipe.
Can I use a dirty word? I used the microwave to make it. It was literally, a can of coconut milk.
Okay.
Vanilla, some bourbon. Mm-hmm. And goodness, what, chocolate chips, like good quality chocolate chips. You just microwave it. I mean, obviously you have to get the measurements right. But you could do anything, Connie, with those brownies. You could put lavender on top.
You're right.
You can toast walnuts. You can take anything to the next level. It just depends on creativity, which, you know, I love cooking. Mm-hmm. So I think part of that is just my creative soul. That's just who I am. So cooking to me is just an extension of makeup almost, you know, colors and textures and those kinds of things. Yeah.
Yeah. So those brownies, ladies, definitely buy them.
Oh,
they're
so good.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, my 10-year-old makes them. They're so easy to make. They're great.
Yeah. Delicious. Rivka, is there a particular moment in your career or your life where you had a specific challenge or you had to deal with, you know, your own inner self doubt or, you know, inner critic? And how did you manage to work through that?
Oh, yeah, this is a good one. Okay. So I had the opportunity to be the solo makeup artist for the House of Mesquite, which is an incredible fashion line based out of Tel Aviv. They're really going places. It was started by, Begun's wife back in the 1950s, I believe. She would literally go into tents, Bedouin tents, and find like little pieces of copper and make like handbags from them. They were individually, you know, like sewn on, like very delicate, very detail-oriented pieces. And in the 80s, Mesquite was in Bergdorf and Saks. It was just booming. So it had a quiet lull. They hired Sharon Tull, who is a lovely human being, her and her husband, Nir, actually, to breathe life back into the House of Mesquite. So I had the opportunity to work their fashion show, do all of the models. That was so fun for me. I spoke with Nir about the ideas of what we wanted to do, what kind of look we wanted. It was funny because it was actually at the Four Seasons. And it was a fundraiser for Tel HaShomer, which is a hospital in Tel Aviv. All the proceeds were going to go to the pediatric cancer unit there, which, again, is something that speaks to my heart. I love to be able to give back. So in Tel Aviv Fashion Week, the models all had, like, bare feet and, you know, gold, like thick, you know, eye makeup and gelled back hair. And I was all into it. I was like, oh, let's just get this whole like desert vibe going on at the Four Seasons. And Nir was like, no, that's going to be way too out there. Like, they're going to think that we can't afford to put shoes on the models. Like, let's take it back. But it was just so fun to be able to do that and to work with such incredible people. So what happened the morning of the show, I wake up, I've got my makeup luggage, basically. It's like a big titanium suitcase packed full of my airbrush, which is something I specialize in and I love doing, and had this whole vision and I was so excited. And I like basically pulled a muscle in my arm. Oh, yeah. And I was like limping. And I have run marathons and never even had like a scratch on me. And here I am going down the stairs in my house, so excited to go and do this fashion show. And I like pull a muscle. I was limping. And there was this wave of doubt that crept over me. And I was like, how am I going to schlep this suitcase and function? I'm going to be on my feet for the next 10 hours. How am I going to do this? And I just literally grimaced through it. And I was like limping, walking in there. And I was like, this is happening. This is not going to happen. And I just barreled through it and put on a smile. You know, some of the models were Aussies. I had a Welsh girl I did. It was so much fun. The banter, you know, behind the scenes, it's fast paced and furious and fun. And I just did it and it was great. And the next day my leg was fine. So
right. Isn't that right, what it I is mean, sometimes? Crazy. It's just putting one step forward and just showing up.
Exactly. That's right. Not complaining. I think what you put out in life, that's what you get back. That's what you attract. Whatever you put out there, that's what you attract back. So I try to believe in that.
Yeah.
Good energy.
Absolutely. What advice would you give to a younger generation of girls and women?
Don't doubt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in yourself more. Have more confidence. I see a lack of confidence in the younger generation. I don't know whether it's due to social media.
Probably.
Dating apps. I mean, that's a mini Gehenna out there. I work with a lot of singles. Thank God I've set people up. And it's just, you know, it's like the kid in the candy shop when there's 5,000 choices and you can just swipe left. How do you deal with that? How do you cope with that? So I think just believe in yourself more. Self-confidence. Work on the inside rather than the outside, which is ironic because we're talking about beauty and fashion, but it's, again, it's expressive of who you are.
Yeah.
And what's inside.
I interviewed Aura Rosenblatt, who is also a makeup artist based in LA. It's interesting. Something with the LA culture, the makeup look is much more natural and it's all about the glowy skin. And again, she was saying also that beauty is the everyday woman who just has that confidence.
Yeah.
And it takes some time to cultivate that, I think, especially if you're younger, you know, coming from a teenager into your young adulthood, it could take some time.
Yeah.
But it's crucial.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's always a process. It's always a journey. You know, there's still things that I look at myself and I don't love. And it's learning to just really appreciate the full package. And I think as you get older and you see so much garbage out there, be it natural disasters and war and just terrible things, you start to think, okay, wait, hold on a second. Is this the most important thing right now?
Right. My grandmother, Oli and Shalom, she always used to say, you know, if somebody had a scar, like, you know, on their eye or wonky teeth, which, you know, is very common in England. She always used to say, darling, it gives you more character.
Yes, it does.
You know, and there's that reminds me of the Japanese. The Japanese have these beautiful bowls, right? The Ming Dynasty and all of their stunning, you know that. That's what you do, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I remember reading somewhere once how they fill their cracks in their porcelain with gold fill. Why do they do that? What's the philosophy behind that? It's so that the cracks should be beautiful. It's part of the process of what this bowl has been through. It's been chipped, it's been cracked, but let's celebrate that. Let's fill that crack with, you know, 22 karat gold fill and admire the imperfections. And I think that's also something I give over to the younger generation. Just admire your perfections. What you went through has made you who you are today. And if you didn't have those struggles, you know, you wouldn't be who you are. I, you know, grew up in a small village. I used to say to my mom, I'm bored. She'd say, go and pick blackberries and we'll make a pie. You know, I had really no gadgets. There was nothing like that in my childhood. And I love that I grew up so simply. I treasure that now as a 45-year-old woman living in the hustle bustle of a big city like LA and, you know, trying to raise my kids without those contraptions and things. And it's a Sunday. What are we going to do today? Let's go to the Grove and spend money. And it's like, there must be something else to do on a Sunday. So I have this woman I visit. Her name's Mimi. She's spectacular. She's 98. I volunteer through Jewish Family Services. It's a Friends to the Elderly program. I recommend that to the single girls that I know and I have in my life, because the more you volunteer, you're going to meet like-minded people that want to give back, that are selfless. You're going to meet a great guy by doing that. But we called Mimi up on a Sunday, my Goldie and I, when we were, you know, going to go to the Grove and spend money again. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, how's it going? She said, Rivkala, I just fell. I need you to come. So Goldie and I went. I checked, the coast was clear. This poor lady, speaking of selfless, had fallen like very early in the morning. She was fine, but she couldn't get back up. So I helped her. Goldie helped her. We sat with her. We made her a tea. Her neighbor came down, checked that she was fine, but she just needed some, you know, social stimulation. It was a delightful way to spend time on a Sunday with my 7-year-old, as opposed to going to American Girl Doll, which I like, but I just don't want to go there every Sunday.
Rivka, so well said. Well said. Rivka, we are down to our favorites. This is where I ask.
Oh, that's fun.
It's really fun. All your favorites. Yeah. Let's start with your favorite quote.
It's a quote by Rumi.
Okay.
And if you are irritated by every rub, how will you ever be polished?
I like that one. I mean, I love every quote, but there's some that are better than others.
I like quotes. I'm a big quote lady.
This is a
good
one. You
should get that printed on a t-shirt, honey.
Yes. Or, you know, sometimes I put them on post-it notes and then I have them on my desk, on my laptop, my, you know, bedside table. It's a good way to, you know, jumpstart a day. Do you have a favorite book or author?
I have two favorite books. I have a coffee table book that I love, and I have a nightstand book that I love. So the nightstand book that I love is by Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, and it's Out of the Depths.
It is.
I literally
so touching.
Cried every single chapter. I was bawling. That's a good book. In my book, that's a good book. And I actually read that book. I used to be involved with JWRP, which is Lori Palatnick's. It's basically Birthright for Mums. And I used to do those trips. I did 3 of those trips to Israel. We took 50 women from LA. Beautiful, good times. It was just time for a change. So anyway, I had read that book right before I went on one of these trips to Israel with these women. And there's a picture, I think it's on the front cover actually, of Rabbi Lau when they first found him when the camps were liberated. The only clothes that they had were Hitler Youth clothes.
Yes.
And there's a picture of people holding him up and he's wearing this little uniform. And it's just, so they have that. We went to Yad Vashem in Israel. It was right after I'd read the book. And they have that picture of him. It's blown up at Yad Vashem. It's enormous. And you see it. And it was just like, wow.
Wow. For listeners who are not familiar with Rabbi Lau, he was, I think, the youngest survivor in his concentration camp. And he went on to become the chief rabbi of Israel. And I believe his son.
Rabbi David Lau.
The present chief rabbi.
I highly, highly recommend it. It's an incredible book. So then my coffee table book is Oliver Sacks' Gratitude.
I've never read that one.
Favorite chapter is The Sabbath, which is the last chapter. So I haven't read any of his other books. I know people love them and rave about them, but this is just a little book But he finds out he was like a neuro something or other doctor, brilliant, brilliant man, Oxford educated. He actually grew up Orthodox in London, oh gosh, in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And this book was written after he was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And it's like his reflections in life. It's a beautiful book.
That's great. Do you have a favorite easy meal? You love to cook, so I don't know if you want it to be an easy meal. But
I love to cook. I love to work. I love to run. I love being a mom. My cheat is my crock pot. And it's funny, people like, they're like, oh my gosh, wait, you put that in a crock pot? You can put anything in a crock pot. And you can do it at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then you're off. You're off the hook. You can play hooky the rest of the day. You can do anything you want, because at 4 o'clock, when you walk in with the kids, you have a beautiful hot piping meal ready and waiting for you. Just put a little bit of cilantro or parsley on top, put it in a pretty bowl, and you're good to go. So I'd say my easiest is probably gourmet sabzi. You know, the people who don't know what it is, it's just delicious. It's also nice because it's made with lots of greens, tarragon, parsley, mint. It's like just an amalgamation of tons of greens. So I feel like I don't have to serve a vegetable with it.
Right. You know? Right.
It's got the protein, veg, and the starch. I serve it with rice. I have a rice maker, so I could do that too at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, perfect.
So yeah, done. So that would be it, the gourmet sabzi.
I'll try to include a recipe for those that are unfamiliar with that.
We just go to Glatmart, buy the pre-made greens. That's really the secret.
Really? Okay. So yeah. What does a dish consist of?
It's stew meat.
Okay.
And I love stews. I actually just did a chili in the crock pot yesterday, and everybody mm-hmm. loved it. Bit spicy, but you know, the Eisenberg's kids don't mind that. It's greens, it's stew meat, it's dried lemon. So you do have to go to a specialty Sephardi market to get this stuff. Sumac on top is really good. That's just dried grape leaves. It's just a nice little spice that you put on top. It's onion, it's garlic. It's very pungent, lemony, and flavorful. It's delicious.
That sounds delicious.
Okay. Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't had that in my house, quite frankly.
I know. You know, I'm familiar with French Moroccan cooking because I come from Montreal, but that's
right.
That's it. That's my, you know, that's what I'm familiar with. So it's always nice to learn something.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite role model or girl boss?
I see my daughters.
Oh, I love that.
My daughters. I have three girls and they're just boss girls. They're very type A personalities and very assertive. Very confident, and I admire those qualities in people, and I'm proud to see it in my daughters, that they're forging the way, the next generation of strong Jewish women. And yeah, and it's almost like built in, you know, certain kids are born with a certain trait. No, don't you find that?
Oh yes.
So they're strong girls. They were assertive from day one. They knew exactly what they wanted, and they're just following in that path. Yeah, so I'd say they're my role models.
That's so special. So Rivka, can you tell listeners where we can find you? On social media? Mm-hmm.
Yes, Rivka 40, R-I-V-K-A-H 40, which is actually hilarious because I was 40 when I came up with that moniker. And now I'm like, I really should have done Rivka 30. So you can find me there, and that's really about it. You probably see me running in the streets in Hancock Parks. I love to run.
Correct. And I just want to tell listeners that your Rivka40 Instagram, you post a lot of reviews on products, on makeup. Yes. I have learned so much information just from watching your videos. So it's really fun. And you post a lot on fashion as well.
Yes, I do love fashion.
Yeah. You know, let's ask one more question before we exit out. Is there a particular fashion designer or style icon that you're crazy about?
You know,
I'm putting you on the spot here.
No. So my fashion client that I mentioned earlier is Sarah Rutson. And I've got to tell you, she's it. She is it. She is just fantastic. She could put on three different jackets. You know, she'll start with a military green then she'll layer it with a moto and then put like a Pruenza like coat on top of that and carry it off and look fantastic.
And wear Balmain sandals up with that and cargo pants. Yeah.
Right. Who can wear three coats and pull that off. And she's just, she puts the S in style. I love her. I love working with her. Sarah, if you listen, I just, big hug and a kiss. I'm going to see her this week. And I just, yeah.
That's great.
She's incredible. And she's on Instagram too. You can follow her on there. And she's just very, very great fashion sense. And again, it's something, I really believe these are all gifts from God. You just, in life, again, going back to the younger girls for a minute, mm-hmm. do what you love. Do what speaks to you. Because if you have a passion for something, that's what you're going to be good at. You can just, you know, like a little bonsai tree, you can just clip it and mm-hmm. prune it and make it beautiful. And it will just expand and flourish.
That is so beautifully said. Rivka, thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. It's been a lovely, lovely time. Thanks
for the chat. This was so fun, and I can't wait for listeners to hear it.
Thanks,
Tani. Have a great one.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening in on our thoughtful, authentic conversation today. Stay tuned for next week's episode and make it a great one.